starting an adventure today. We started it in Sunday school called The Story. This is a Zondervan publication. It has 31 chapters. And the good news I have for you is we're going to preach through the entire Bible in the next 31 weeks. You better do a lot of reading, hadn't you? Well, that's the beauty of the story. The story had the vision of taking the Bible and an abridged version. Now, this is the New International Version of the Bible and all of its scriptures, but it's select stories chosen to tell God's overarching story from the garden and back to the recreated garden at the end of Revelation. The first two chapters and the last two have an awful lot in common. But oh boy, is there a lot in between. And we're going to talk about all of that in between. Your life, you know, is part of that story in between. The things you did, this just one particular day this week, you might think was insignificant, but you know, your life, because you're part of His creation, is a part of that story. But when we look at all of those details, we get lost in the story without realizing it's part of that bigger story. Well, anyhow, you'll see that this thing is divided into paragraphs. There's no verse references, no book references. It's just a story. Now, trust me, it's the Bible, but told as a story. Now, there are references. You can find what books it comes from and what the chapters and verses are for what you're reading, but it tried to make it simple so that most people could make it through to understand what God was trying to communicate. So it's not throwing the Bible out. It's just telling it in a different form. We started this in Sunday school. The materials to do this are costing us roughly $15, I think, per person. If you want a copy, you can get one. We've got some more in the Sunday school area. You don't have to pay for them. If you want to contribute, that's the approximate cost. But that is the story. That's where we begin. Most people, we hear, struggle with reading through the Bible. A lot of them struggle with understanding what they read. And we hope that going through the story, we can help you remove some of that mystery. Now, I have a small piece prepared here to kind of show you the way a lot of people struggle with understanding the Bible. And I think you'll get the hint as you watch what we're talking
about. That leaves one untouched category, the Bible. Cindy, where would you like to begin?
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 200.
For 200, the answer is Genesis. Yes, Jeremy.
What is the name of the device used to create a planet in that Star Trek movie?
No. No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Yes, Cindy.
What is the name of Phil Collins' band?
No, I'm sorry, that's also incorrect. No, players, remember the category is the Bible.
My buzzer's still not working.
Press firmly, Ron. Correct response. What is the first book of the Bible? Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Throw open the cover, there it is. All right. Cindy, still your board.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 400.
For 400, the answer is, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Yes, Cindy.
What is freedom of speech?
No. That would be the Bill of Rights. Yes, Jeremy.
What is thou shalt not do anything?
Judges, can we accept that? No, I'm sorry. Can you be a bit more specific, please?
What is thou shalt not commit forgery?
No. Sorry. Ron? Well, there are 10 of them you could have picked from. Know the gods, keep the Sabbath, honor your mother and father, no adultery.
I meant that one.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Cindy? Still your board.
I'll take the Bible for 600.
For 600, the answer is they're called epistles. Yes, Jerry.
What was Jesus' crown made out of?
No. Yes, Cindy.
What is the wife of an apostle?
No, that's incorrect. You? Correct response. What is a letter from an apostle? Letter from an apostle. Cindy, still your board.
Okay. I will take...
Only two clues remaining, Cindy.
Okay, I'll take the Bible for 800.
For 800, the answer is... All right, listen to me very carefully. Ron, listen to me very carefully. This person took two of every living animal into a huge boat to survive the great flood. Cindy.
Who is Mr. Doolittle?
No. Yes, Jeremy.
Who is Dr. Doolittle? No.
Yes. Yes,
it worked. My buzzer worked.
Yes, Ron. Yes, go ahead.
Who is Joan of Arc?
No. No, it was Noah. Have you never heard of Noah? Two by two, the animals came. Well, that's how it means it's time for our final round. That leaves one.
Okay, well, I hope that... As we were making fun, we were making it along with you, not at you. But I think we all confess to maybe being in those categories sometimes. That the answers are simpler than they seem, but never quite on the tip of our tongue. So that being the case, we find as we begin a journey through the Bible that it's much like a story, and just like watching a movie, if you miss the beginning few minutes of the movie, maybe you'll miss being able to understand the whole movie. You'll come in later wonder why they are doing that, and if you'd have seen the beginning. In our case of the story, the beginning, where we're studying today, are the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And it basically tells of the creation of all that there is and of his crowning achievement of man. And the same is the Bible's grand story. The book opens with a big bang. Now, we're not talking about the big bang of evolutionary theory. Some of you may watch on television the big bang theory, and it's pretty much a mockery of everything that has to do with how it really happened. But the Big Bang is the revelation of God, who He is, and He's the main character of the grand story. God is the primary character of His story. This is His story. He's chosen to reveal Himself. The Bible does not tell us where God comes from. It begins with, in the beginning, God. That's just a given fact. Where He comes from is not up for discussion. It's need-to-know information, and we need to know that it starts with God. His revelation begins with His spoken word, at which everything came into being. Can you imagine the power? Let there be light. I should have had you turn the lights on right then, but it doesn't respond to me like that. Okay? But let there be light. It's his way of speaking. You know, John chapter 1, verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. By him all things were created. Without him nothing was created that has been created. He was with God in the beginning. And down in verse 14 it said, and the Word, capital W-O-R-D, became flesh and made his dwelling among us, speaking about the person of Jesus. And I think in that regard to that is the definition. Word in the New Testament is the Greek word logos. Y'all familiar with, you may have a little program in your computer called the Logos Bible software. But logos is simply Greek for word. The really thing I find interesting about that is in understanding word and unpacking what that means, I find that the definition, the very definition of logos is the embodiment of an idea. That just kind of stuck out to me. Because when we're talking about the capital W-R-D, we're talking about Jesus, who's the embodiment of God himself here on earth. When we're giving words, we're talking about ideas, and we're giving them through our words definition. Well, he gave, in a literal sense, the embodiment of an idea. He became Word. Well, nonetheless, it says to, in regard to that, he gives revelation. God has revealed to us what he was doing through giving us the Word, the written Word, actually, as well as later in the Bible, the Word, Jesus. But he's doing that is he's given us the Word as what we know as general revelation, kind of deep theological stuff that they talk about in those ivory halls of seminaries. But the whole idea of general revelation is summed up in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. He's talking about the very fact, and if you want to get philosophical, it would be the teleological argument for the existence of God. Anybody want to take that exam? It simply means something exists. If something exists, where did it come from? So God, through his general revelation, when we look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and everything around us, it reveals a God to us. General revelation. But in the Bible, we begin to get something known as the specific revelation of God. He tells us word for word where it came from, who we are, and how we exist. If we'll simply read it and follow it. And again, the Bible opens with a big bang, that big bang being creation. The opening verse in Genesis 1:1 introduces us to the story's main character, God. And I guess I should have held that open, but I'll get there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the water, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. We see that him being that main character in that Big Bang, the Big Bang of creation is presented poetically and artistically in the very first category, light and darkness. Let there be light. And he talks about how day and night were separated by the movement of the sun and the moon. And actually, as we've learned, the revolution of the earth. But day and night are separated. That's day one of creation. Day two is the sky. And the light, and the sky and water. how they're a second day part of that creation. The third day is when the waters start to be separated by land. And again, these are all parts of, or days in that creation story. Specifically, he's describing earth in those 3 days. And the earth is the dwelling place he has given us. Isn't it amazing the way this earth, the temperatures, the water, the plants, everything there are there for our existence and our use and our stewardship? It just wasn't just creating a planet that floated out in space somewhere. It was providing a place for his creative works, his image bearers, to live. Well, on day 4, 5, and 6, those places are filled in the things that those places are created for. Day 4 is the sun and the moon and the stars. Day 5, he makes the birds and sea creatures. So he's filling the waters and he's filling the air and he's inhabiting the land. Day 6, he makes animals. And also on day 6, human beings. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female created he them, it says in King James. He made us to bear his image and to be a part of that, all on day 6 of the creation story. Now I know we can go into lots of arguments, and it's not our place to have arguments and try to find settlements to it, so we'll leave them alone. But were those epics, or were those 24-hour days? I'm a believer in a 24-hour day because it says morning, evening, dark, night, next day, you know. But nonetheless, that's not the important thing. The important thing is God did this, and he did it by separating light from darkness and from the earth circulating and from there being days. But the big bang of creation concludes with God's core passion: human beings. Did you know that God has a passion for you? He made you to bear his image. And he loves you, as the scripture says, with an everlasting love. And his core passion is people made in that image. And of course, he depicts them for us in the story, page 2, Genesis 1, I'm not going to read it, 1, 26 and 27, talks about Adam and Eve. Adam being a word meaning man, Eve being created for man or made from man, but we know to represent woman. So Adam and Eve, man and woman, he made in his image. All the beauties of creation, all of them, as beautiful as this world and everything around you is secondary to you. Think about that for a minute. That means that you are special to God. You ever have one of them down days where you don't feel like much? Kick it off, man. You're everything to God. God, the truth is, when we understand that, that's a million-dollar self-esteem builder. People spend a lot of money on counselors to learn how important they are, to build their self-esteem. And God did it, all at his cost. Even the death of his only begotten Son is made possible because he loves you so much that he wants to redeem you. The Bible story continues as the big bang, when it goes into the fall with Adam and Eve's rebellion. Adam and Eve were created with the freedom and power to choose. Think about that. free will. Why do you have free will? You have it because God wanted you to choose to love Him. He could have made us like puppets on a string and made us have to worship Him and choose Him, but He didn't. He gave us the free will to choose. Man does not always use that free will the best. Man chose poorly. Now the story in choosing poorly, they found themselves separated from God, and that story introduces the tale of two trees. Their two trees are the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see those in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. We see them in Revelation chapter 22. The tree of life was stood by streams of water, producing 12 crops of fruit a year. That those inhabiting that eternal dwelling place with God have eternal life by eating. Now, unfortunately, because of that fall, because man chose poorly and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil at Satan's invitation, it gave them a knowledge that made them kind of smart aleck, thinking they were as smart as God. Of course, that was the thing. The only reason he don't want you to eat from that is he don't want you to be as smart as he is. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're a long way from being as smart as God, but we gained knowledge through Adam and Eve's fall. And that knowledge leads us to make some poor choices in our free will that are deadly. And that's why he ran them out of the garden, to separate them from that tree of life. Because if they could have got to that tree of life, they could have lived forever in that rebellious state. And he didn't want that. So he drove them away from the garden. And Adam and Eve had rebelled, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil they had eaten from. Now you see, the rest of the story. Anybody in here old enough to remember Paul Harvey? Yeah. Did you ever listen to the rest of the story? I always really enjoyed those. But the rest of this story, the rest of the Bible, is after Adam and Eve have chose poorly, God spends the remainder of all of the Bible in an effort to redeem man. In an effort to win us back, because he loves us so much. All the individual lower stories of lower story instances in the Bible will be part of the larger story of the redemption of man. Of God, what God goes to, how great a length he goes to win us back. And the story reports this big bang of sin's damage to the human race. Because Adam and Eve chose a different vision than God's vision, sin became part of their spiritual DNA, and they produced more sinners. Another birth, another life, another sinner. Genesis 4 through 9 presents sin and sin's nature as permeating the human race. And right off, we see the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain killing Abel because God accepted his gift and not Cain's. And we discussed this in Sunday school. Why is that? Well, quite frankly, we don't know. But David provided a great answer for that. You know, for the most part, Abel presented his gift with a pure heart, saying, "Yes, Lord." here's the best of what I've got for you. Where Cain was more like, oh, well, I guess I got to. Now, I don't know. We don't know, but we kind of see that. That was that sin nature, that good and evil within us. It shows how people respond in opposite ways depending upon whether they're dominated by an evil spirit or a good spirit. And those spirits produce that tension and that war between us because of the evil. So Cain kills Abel. Following in our printed text, we see that Adam and Eve, not in our printed text, mind you, but we see that Adam and Eve have other children. We see that many of them live as long as 700 or 1,000 years. We see in chapter 6, verse 3, that God says, I've had it. Man's days will now be 120. You know, isn't that something? That as we read of characters in the Old Testament, that some of them live, what was Methuselah, 962? I'm guessing here. I think I'm about 962 years. You know, people lived a long time, and now they don't. That ever make you wonder why we don't live so long anymore? Why they did then? You know, answers in Genesis. You've spent the last 9 years going through a curriculum, their curriculum of the Bible in Sunday school, but they have the work of some of their scientists that tell us that the difference between living hundreds of years versus only maybe 120, generally 70 or 80, if you have strength, it says, the difference happened after the flood. Now, what changed? Well, if you paid close attention in reading the Bible, you saw that the earth was enveloped in a vapor cloud. That vapor cloud protected us from the sun's rays. At the flood, that cloud fell and flooded the earth. After that, you know, you get a bad sunburn. You know people that have to go get that cut off their skin sometimes because it creates cancers. Just think of that. Well, one of the neatest things that I remember about Answers in Genesis in this particular section was the fact that they displayed the fact that a reptile grows larger every year that it lives. They continue getting bigger. And, you know, one of the questions we answer is, what happened to the dinosaurs? Why aren't there any dinosaurs anymore? Well, just imagine, how big would an 800-year-old alligator be? That answers it for us right there. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say that. But if life is shortened up so much, those species can't grow to those sizes anymore. Wow, this isn't rocket science after all. Maybe the Bible knows what it's talking about. So taking those positions is not necessarily a bad thing to do. And chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that man's thoughts are always evil, all the time. Now that's not me, that's the rest of you men. Anybody that's a man cannot freely tell that he doesn't have evil thoughts, well, God bless you, all I can say. But that's what it said, that God saw that man's thoughts were always evil all the time. So God chose a righteous man by the name of Noah. And Noah was given instructions to build an ark so that God could have a do-over on the human race. The flood erased the wicked human race. Unfortunately, the flood did not erase the sin nature from Noah and his family. And of course, we see that that follows them after the flood. They come off of the ark. The Bible offers a salvation clue in the midst of all of this. When it talks about him clothing Adam and Eve in the garden, remember after their fall, it talks about them making figs, using fig leaves and stuff to make clothes, but God using the skins of animals. What's necessary to get a skin of an animal? Death. Even blood, way back in the beginning of Genesis, is used in the redemption of men in providing them clothing. But we see as that goes on that Noah and his family come off of the ark and the animals are released and they're all there on the firm ground. And right away, you know, Noah drinks a little bit too much. And he's laying in his tent naked. And of course, one of his sons sees his nakedness. And here we are, the evil of sin showing its ugly face again. God destroyed all of mankind in an effort, hopefully, to get rid of that sinful nature, that evil nature. But he didn't, did he? It continued on. For God to restore the vision that human beings are his supreme passion will always require the shedding of blood. We're told that in Scripture. And ultimately, on the hill of Calvary, it costs Jesus his blood. Your sin debt has been paid for by his giving of his son. From the creation story, we discover the value of all human beings. God wants to be with you. Think about that. God wants to personally be with you. At great cost to God. God has done everything possible to get you back. Here's your self-esteem pill. Struggling with self-esteem is you are that valuable. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. He couldn't give you eternal life based upon anything you could do for yourself because you produce evil. It's just part of the human nature. Only through the blood of Jesus applied to your sin debt could he offer that for you. And that, every week for the most part, is always something we offer. If you've never given your life to Christ, never been buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, never had that blood applied to your account, it's always available. I'll tell you, don't ever leave here if you've got questions like that on your heart without taking them before myself, Carl, David, one of the elders, you know, we're here for you. Don't ever walk out of here in despair. Now, all of that being said, I'm not specifically offering an invitation today. We don't have a song to sing. But if you've been convicted by anything you've heard, talk to us. Don't leave here. But that being said, why don't you rise? We've got to get into proper stature before we approach God. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that we have seen so far of how you created man in a hope of creating someone in your image that you could walk with us in the cool of the day in the garden, and that you could have that close of a personal relationship with us. And we sinned. We walked away from that. The greatest gift, the greatest cause of self-esteem was our value in your eyes, and we spat upon it. Oh, but thankfully you have not chosen to destroy us, but rather give us a way to redeem or restore that relationship. And I pray, Lord, that if someone hearing these words has not made that decision and wants to talk more, that they would not leave today without dealing with those callings upon their heart. But thank you that we carry so much value to you, that you have given your one and only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Thank you for the hope and the promise we look forward to, the last chapter of the book, that forever place with you in heaven. That is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You don't have to sing for me today. You're free to go. Prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You don't have to.